Hey, welcome. Welcome. This is your host, Ron Jacobs, welcoming you to another edition of ArtCast, the fount of architectural knowledge and wisdom, so that you can get educated. Tune in. Keep up. No, wait. I forgot. Turn on. Tune in. Turn on. Keep up. That's the way it goes. But today, we are continuing our thoughts on management and good old DSI. And today I'm joined by Omar Kawatli, who is a program manager in the management group here, the guys that built MOM. And we had a fascinating conversation about where all of that stuff is going and model-based management. So I think you're going to learn something today. I hope you enjoy it. So stick around for Omar Kawatli. Omar, welcome to ArtCast.
Thanks, Ron. Great to be here.
Yeah, and so a lot of people have been hearing about this thing called DSI. And a lot of people are wondering, you know, what is DSI? I heard Steve Ballmer say when we went to a conference somewhere and we had brought all the gloomy weather with us, he said it's DSI, stands for Dreary Skies Initiative. But what do you think? What is this all about?
Well, that's great. It certainly would try to set the record for the most rainy days in Seattle. We think that might be the idea.
Yeah.
But DSI is all about really trying to recognize the distributed nature of applications and the complexity of building, maintaining, and really operating these applications, and to recognize the complexity and really try to drive down the cost inherent in that complexity. When we look really at what is driving the cost of building and deploying and managing applications, we've noticed that as systems have become more distributed, the cost of management is going up. And it's right now we see as this cost continues to rise, the management cost follows this complexity curve. And so what's driving this is really the application complexity. So we look at things, you know, your typical distributed application that might be doing, you know, an order processing system. It has a lot of moving parts, and all those parts have to work in harmony in order for the business, you know, job or the service that's being delivered by that application to be successful. And so Dynamic Systems Initiative is really about recognizing that complexity, allowing us to build a model that represents the application. And then that then enables software to do a lot of the heavy lifting that's currently either in the developers or the operator, IT manager's heads. By doing so, we then allow the software to automate a lot of that, jobs that are inherent in this complex environment, and allow us to drive down the cost of management.
You know, so a few years back, I was on the Indigo team in its early days, and we had a group that was kind of thinking about management. That was the area that I was thinking about, and managing web services. And one of the conclusions that we came to was that all of the management things we looked at that people were doing were really about managing the hardware, more or less. Like, we're managing that server box or this server box. And especially when you built an application that was composed of many web services that were interacting together on lots of different servers and maybe even different platforms, nobody was really helping you with the problem of managing the application, because all of the management products at that time had no notion of an application, but just that you were managing servers.
That's right. And traditionally, management has been an afterthought. Most of the time, people will develop applications, and, you know, in the worst case, you know, the developers will build the application, and basically it's tossed over the wall to the operations team, and then they're left sitting there trying to figure out, what does it mean for this application to be healthy? So, you know, you're absolutely, you know, correct that traditional management systems look at the hardware environment, maybe some of the low-level operating system health metrics, but by and large, looking at what does it mean for a whole application or a distributed application especially to be healthy is something that people just don't see today. And so with Dynamic Systems Initiative, what Microsoft's trying to do is bring together the different assets that we have, like the developer environment in Visual Studio, their platform that we've provided with Windows, and then the different management tools that are part of our System Center suite that really let us get to provide a more of a holistic view of what's happening inside someone's application.
So the heart of this whole thing is this model, this that we call the SDM. I always forget what S stands for. Is it service or system or what is? Anyway, SDM is this model, right? What is that S for?
The SDM is, it stands for System Definition Model.
Ah, that's it. Okay.
And the SDM is basically, it's an XML schema that's used to capture the model of arbitrary types of systems. These systems can be very low level systems, like a network card. You could describe a model of that would show you the different dependencies and connections that a network card has. It could also be used to model the health of that network card. But it could typically also is also a much higher level service, like a distributed application, let's say a web service, where this web service may have dependencies on the operating system. IIS needs to be running. Obviously, it has dependencies on the hardware. And the system definition model can be used to describe the different ways this web service is deployed and managed.
So if I were to think about this model, I kind of picture like imagine a hardware control panel, right? And I've got some knobs and switches and some meters and stuff and little glowing lights. And so take your example of the network card, right? The meters and glowing lights are the indicators that tell me the health of this thing. Like if it's healthy, the lights are green, the meters look in the good range. And then the knobs and switches represent the things I can do to tweak it, to adjust its work operating parameters and shut it off or turn it on and that sort of stuff. And I guess there would have to be also maybe, on the side, maybe there's a little book with reference material that tells me what other things this network card needs or something. Is that sort of a good visual of what the DSI is telling me about, the SDM is telling me about this network card?
Sure. You can think of the SDM is really like a repository of a lot of different kind of data. Or metadata. It's going to be information that the developers of the network card put in place that help to define these are all the components that make up this network card or application. In addition, we can add additional information that would tell us about how this might be deployed. Let's say if it's an application, we might want to know, well, this application needs to be deployed with certain security settings. Maybe it has certain dependencies on Windows that need to be active. And then the SDM can also contain information about what it means for this application to be healthy. In that case, you'd see, this could be visualized as different kinds of knobs that or meters that show you the relative health of the application. Like if it's a meant to process so many transactions, if it's a network card, we're going beyond our, the type of bandwidth that it's designed to support. The SDM could describe that such that, it's not on the shoulders of the operators to kind of memorize all this information. The SDM can kind of contain that information so that automated systems like MOM and SMS can go and consume it and be able to present the operators with much more usable information.
So as you move up the level of abstraction from low-level things like a network card to higher-level ideas like a service, I can imagine how, sure, it'd be easy to describe a web service running on a particular web server, and that one. But can you use SDN to describe something like more abstract? Like, here's a service. It runs on a farm of web servers. There's 10 of them. I want to think about that service collectively rather than about the 10 individual servers. Can I do that with a SDM?
Absolutely. That's one of the core ways that SDM is designed to be used. And actually, this is something that a lot of architects can already check out today, because SDM version 1.0 shipped in the current version of Visual Studio 2005. There's a designer template or surface where IT architects and developers can collaborate. An IT architect can go and describe a virtual data center with different servers and different kind of secure configurations, such as a DMZ or firewalled area, and also other types of workloads like a SQL server or an Exchange server. Developers can then take that similar design surface and describe out their application. Say, here are different components that make up my application. Like, this is my web component. This is my data access component. And then these two surfaces can work together where the developer can then say, well, here's the service that I want to run on the web server. And they can then go drag and drop that service to the web server. And that way, that they're able to associate the different components with the different parts of the virtual data center. With that information, an IT operator can then say, okay, we've got a web farm that we want to deploy this application to. They can ensure that the security settings and the attributes are appropriate across the farm now that they understand what the requirements are for the application. As we move into the future, a lot of that deployment activity can even be automated using the SDM.
Yeah, because once you know what all the pieces of the application are, and this is actually was a really hard problem. I mean, I remember a few years ago as we moved to more and more distributed applications, you know, and you had kind of little bits of binary scattered all over lots of different machines and supporting files like images and style sheets and things like that. You know, you begin going, it's even hard to know what all the pieces of the application are and where they go. So we wrote these big Word documents and to say, here's all the pieces and here's where they go. And it was just, and of course the documents always became the reality and, you know, people forgot to keep them up to date, but it was a big pain in the neck just even trying to describe what all the pieces were and how you deploy them or undeploy them if necessary.
Absolutely. And that for me, when I talk to customers about the Dynamic Systems Initiative, this is one of the areas that seems to resonate very well, which is even in a very mature shop where the developers and the IT folks are working closely, the best case typically is that there are some white papers that have been shared, and it really becomes best practices, but there are no teeth. There's no real enforcement of this. Even if people are trying to do the right thing, there's so many different policies to try to keep in mind, it can become very burdensome. And so part of what we are delivering with the Dynamic Systems Initiative is a way to describe these models, these policies for, you know, what does it mean to deploy an application into a DMZ, just as an example. And instead of it just being a white paper, it actually is a software model that is both human readable and machine readable. And that way, as the human developer is building their application, just like they couldn't build a web service with a syntax error, you know, the compiler would kick it out. Well, with this, we have similar validation now for the actual services that when you go to try to deploy them to the different server types, it'll actually say there's a violation in terms of, you know, this server is designed to run, you know, IIS, and you're trying to reference something that might require SQL Server. And so those things would be called out very, very early in the design time as opposed to later in the design, you know, in the deployment process. So basically, you know, being able to capture those IT requirements and get them to the developer so that the developer can make better decisions up front is a great way we can demonstrate, you know, sharing models really throughout the application lifecycle.
So Visual Studio 2005 has been out a couple months now, and this is really the first product with SDM kind of built into it in having this ability to do the logical data center diagram and the application diagram and do a trial deployment like you talked about. But once you've done those kind of things in the Visual Studio environment, there's not anything else that's using an SDM right now, is there?
That's true in terms of the pure SDM. However, one thing that's often surprising to customers is that the concept, or really the vision of the Dynamic System Initiative, is very much already out in place and available to customers today. A great example of that is a MOM management pack. So MOM, the Microsoft Operations Manager, takes what we call management packs, which you can think of as a prototypical version or a precursor to the SDM. It's just in a different format. SDM, as we mentioned, is an XML format. A MOM management pack is just a very similar concept about being able to take operational best practices for what does it mean for an application to be healthy and build a model about an application. It's just in a slightly different format. As we go into the future, the next version of MOM, which will be going into beta in May, is actually using SDM as the management pack format. So for people that are building management packs today, there'll be a conversion process to convert the current proprietary format into this open SDM format.
So as a developer or an architect is, you know, kind of planning their application, I think it probably makes really good sense to sort of come up with that visual representation of the control surface or the management surface of my application and say, what knobs do I need? What meters and lights do I need? You know, what technologies would these be based on, right? So that we could say, well, we're probably going to need a performance counter to tell us about, you know, that's like a meter that tells me about this kind of health, maybe like transactions per second. I'm going to need some knobs that and buttons that they can use to shut this down, start it up, I don't know, whatever. You can come up with a lot of things, right?
Exactly. And we've seen this really work both internally here at Microsoft and with a lot of our ISV partners, and even internal, you know, corporate accounts that have, you know, some very large development teams. When they sit down and say, well, I want to make sure that we can monitor this application with Microsoft Operations Manager, well, you know, we'll give this good guidance on how to build a management pack. And going through that process of actually building the management pack often exposes issues with the application, such as, oh, maybe I am missing a performance counter, or gee, I wish I had a little bit more instrumentation. All of that work, that investment, you know, one, it's great for applications that are out there. There's no need to, you know, you don't have to re-architect the applications. You can still build a management pack for them. However, the investment that's made to better understand and instrument these applications is a great investment for the future as the, you know, these things move into more of the SDM model and become richer as we move forward.
So, you know, that's a really interesting idea, because one of the things that when I was on the patterns and practices team, one of the things we recommended to customers was that it's a good idea to construct what we call a baseline architecture. In a baseline architecture, you create sort of a thin slice. You don't try to create the whole application, but a thin slice of it, maybe, you know, one or two or three use cases that kind of work end to end as a way of, you know, sort of evaluating the architecture and what you're going to do and how it works. And as a part of that exercise, it might even make sense. It probably would be a very good idea to prototype the management surface by building a management pack and saying, well, how would we know if this thing was healthy or not? And maybe even as a part of your testing of the baseline architecture, test by monitoring it with MOM, which would mean that the architects would have to at least understand enough about MOM to construct these management packs and be able to run it and, you know how it works. I think a lot of people in this business think of MOM purely as an IT infrastructure tool only, and have never considered doing something like that.
You're absolutely right, Ron. And I think this is part of the aha factor of the Dynamic Systems Initiative, is we're actually able to show how even today, with the tools that are in place, we really are connecting, or we have the capability of connecting, the life cycle across, you know, development, IT operations, and the end users. And when people look at it like that, they see that, you know, products like MOM and Visual Studio and SMS have the capability to deliver on a lot of the promise of DSI today. And as we move forward, there'll be even more consistency in the schema. But really, you know, the essence of being able to model an application is something that it has tremendous benefits right now. And one of the key areas also that we're trying to evangelize with DSI, I've talked a lot about making sure that the developers and the IT group are in sync, but also just as important is making sure that the IT group and the end users or the business users of the applications are also in sync. And so as we look at the Dynamic Systems Initiative, part of that model is also capturing what the business requirements are. So if we think about, not only the application is healthy, we want to know how is the business trying to use the application. Is it certain, you know, number of transactions that are expected of it, or certain performance attributes? And that information also can be captured in the model. Today, it can be captured as management packs, and in the future, that'll also be part of the SDM.
Well, that's a real interesting thought, because people often refer to that as what, business process monitoring, right? And like, so instead of saying, we did, 100 transactions per minute in the last 3 hours, you would say, we sold 50,000 widgets per hour in the last 3 hours, or whatever it is, right? And I never thought about putting BPM kind of metrics into a management pack. Are people doing that?
Certainly, we do have people that are doing that today. And that gets back to really thinking about what are the things that are important to your business. So with it, again, DSI, you know, we really talk a lot about using models across the lifecycle and really using those models to exchange, you know, the knowledge that's in the developers' minds and the IT architects' minds, but also the business users' minds. And so what we do see is often, just like with IT needs, the developers may not have fully thought through what the instrumentation is that they need to expose, but in the process of building that management pack, it really gives them a foundation for thinking about that. Now, as one of the tenets of DSI is to make sure that we get a good perspective from the end user, that also is another, you know, way of collaborating and incorporating their feedback into the model, is basically making sure that when the, you know, what are the business metrics, whether it's so many widgets per hour that are sold or a certain response time. And there's different supporting technologies, like in one of the new management packs that the MOM team has issued recently, is something we call our Websites and Web Services Management Pack. And that actually allows an IT operator to go and record a series of web transactions, let's say like go fill out a form and submit it, and then verify that the right data comes back in the appropriate amount of time. That's a great way to model and monitor what the actual end user would see.
This is all very interesting. I know a lot of people are looking forward to the next version of MOM. You said it's going into beta in the spring in May. What kind of new things are coming in that version of MOM?
Sure, yes. The what we're calling MOM V3 is the next version of MOM. And really what MOM V3 is primarily focused on doing is really taking this whole idea that we've been talking about, service-oriented monitoring, and allowing us to deliver a platform both to developers and to IT shops that provide this way of looking at the distributed services that they're trying to deliver to the business to make sure that they're highly available and to monitor them in a way that we can lower the overall cost of operations.
You know what? That's a really interesting point, because I did a podcast with Anders Vinberg the other day where we were talking about this idea that management of services in a service-oriented architecture, and you know, how do you do this? And a lot of people are saying, oh, it's a totally different thing. Like, you should have totally different tools to do this. And I've seen companies actually building a lot of homegrown infrastructure to make this happen. But you're saying these things are going to be built into the next version of MOM?
That's right. And in fact, it's really an evolution. Even in MOM 2005, there is a notion of health, you know, that you can monitor for different services. But these services tend to be running on a single computer. What we see with MOM V3 is this notion of being able to generalize services so that the services, again, just like SDM itself, is able to be something that scales up to a distributed multi-machine, multi-data center application, where we want to understand what are the different components and dependencies, and it scales all the way down to that little NIC card inside one computer. And so just like the SDM, because MOM is using the SDM as its basis for a management pack, it's able to allow folks to model that information. But one important point about this, and I get this question a lot, is that customers say, well, none of my applications are built using Visual Studio 2005 or beyond. You know, it sounds like I won't be able to benefit from that. And really, one of the key things that MOM V3 is delivering is a way to model these types of applications, even if they're not built using Visual Studio. So a legacy application that does have a distributed nature can actually be modeled using some nice wizards that we're building in MOMv3, and then that, in essence, builds your SDM for that application, even if it wasn't architected that way.
So, you know, one of the things I think a lot of people want to do, though, with sort of services management is be able to support use cases like, we're going to take this server down and move this service over to that server temporarily, at certain times of day, we're going to reroute to from this database to that mainframe or back and forth. Can you guys do those sorts of things with MOM?
Right, and just like with Dynamic Systems Initiative, a lot of these pieces are designed to work together. So one of the new technologies that Microsoft's bringing to the front is something we call the hypervisor technology. And this is a way that we can help to create, you know, virtual images of different systems and allow very easy deployment and reprovisioning of systems. MOM will work together with these technologies to identify when a particular system might be overloaded, for example, and then alert operators or even on an automated basis be able to deploy or reprovision additional systems to handle the load. So those are things that in combination, again, because Microsoft is taking this very holistic view at how do we make dynamic systems very easy to manage. So by looking at all the different assets that we have, they really will work together to deliver on a scenario like that.
So really, I would think about sort of a pool of computing resources that could be assigned to whatever role makes sense, depending on the need?
It certainly could be done. I think the key thing first, because often we'll hear companies talk about, you know, this really very virtual environment where it's just raw CPU processing. And one of the key things that's missing, in my opinion, is that unless you have a great model for how the application works in the first place, it's very, very hard to do that type of dynamic allocation. However, once you do have a very rich model for how the application is stitched together, what its dependencies are, what its health metrics are, then being able to distribute that application in order to respond to different workloads is something that's very doable. And that's why really we've put our major effort into this SDM as a way to capture these models. And once the models are in place, doing things like, you know, dynamic provisioning of systems, something that is very doable.
So is this MOM beta that's going to happen in the spring, is that something that's open to people, or you have to know somebody, you got to pay somebody, or what?
Yeah, great question. You know, here's the bank account to send money to. What we're going to be doing is on Microsoft.com/MOM, which is the MOM team's homepage on our website, we'll have a nomination link. This is a public beta, so pretty much everybody will be nominated. There's no reason someone wouldn't be nominated, or their nomination wouldn't be accepted. It's simply a way for us to track who's in the beta, so we can follow up with them if we, you know, have questions. It also gives them permission to access the private news groups that'll be used to support the beta. So for people interested in this, they should just, you know, go up to the MOM page on Microsoft.com. Probably mid to late April to register.
Wow, this is really exciting. Good information about DSI and MOM. So thanks so much for being with me today on ArtCast.
Thanks a lot, Ron. My pleasure.
Okbar Kawafi, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. Management, Microsoft Operations Manager. I can't wait for that new one. That's going to be really cool. You know, because management is just one of those things that, you know, when I was writing software, we didn't care at all about management. I mean, you know, we didn't put any kind of management surface on stuff, and we just said, hey, tough beans, you know, it's like, if it's not working, reboot the computer or go figure it out, you know. But you can't keep doing that because people are not going to put up with it. And so we need a better management story. And Omar and his guys have come up with something great. Hey, and that's why you listen. Because here at ArtCast, we bring you great things to listen to. So keep listening. We'll look for you next time.